I'm Ben.
I'm sorry.
If you would like to get your song reviewed, dear listener, there's the Filthy Capitalist option. It's sorry says 125 gets you straight to the head of the line. You don't have to be a part of the alliance. You don't have to be part of the group.
Wait a minute.
And the biggest thing is you don't have to wait. You hop, skip, and jump right in front of everybody. 125 gets you there. You do that 3 times and then get mashed down to the $75 rate for perpetuity.
Yes!
Also, there is a band review option. So if you've got a band and you're trying to get your band some exposure, hit me up at insori@gmail.com and I'll show you the details about how to pull
you
that off.
You can also jump on Patreon and there is a option on the tiers to be able to get your band reviewed. Yep. Obviously, we can't lie to you, so we can't guarantee a positive review. Get what you get.
It's just rubbish.
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 That's British for garbage.
My favorite is a community option. $1 at the gate gets you into Patreon. You get to join an alliance. The alliance joins their points together, and that helps determine what songs that we do.
The alliances hang out on Discord.
Shh, message me on Patreon to get the link.
And they do all kinds of other cool things. They do Minecraft. What? Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. It's really a community within the community. Anybody can go in the village, facebook.com/VinandSori. There's 160 plus thousand people on the channel. What's cool about the Discord is that it offers a real opportunity for community connection, friendship, that type of thing.
And it's on Discord, so if you're not a Facebook person, it's for you.
You start off at $1.
Right.
Plus you get exclusives. Sori and I are working on a song. So the first 15 seconds of that was on Patreon. Also, at $15 tier and above, when we actually debut the video, they're going to be there live with us. There you are, dear listener.
Buy our merch.
Oh.
Buy our merch, indeed.
Yes.
Shout out to the big homie, Jimmy Tor.
Yep.
Okay, so we are about to do Chrome Division, The Devil Walks Proud, for our DJ Ruth, a.k.a.
DJ Ruth, bitches.
Black Satan 68.
DJ Ruth. You see it in the, she's got her own little thing. She's got the picture right there. She's hanging out with your homie. You see right there, DJ'd by Black Satan. And up there, if you want to figure out how to make sure that you, dear listener,
get a DJ,
hit us up, vinandsori@gmail.com or
Patreon. You can message me on Patreon and I can help you out. Here you go. You can read that for the village.
Sahagra from Dimmu Borgir created this band with people from other bands. He is not the singer, but is one of the guitarists. This band is a biker metal band. Okay. Biker metal.
Head hurts, stomach's turning, and I don't wanna face the day. What I hear, what I ever learn, I guess it's just a price to pay.
That was the devil. See that? The devil walks beside me.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he walks proud.
This woman, Black Satan 68, who's currently the one making all the selections for these songs.
You see her right here? The snake. Okay, what do we need to say about her?
She's just all... Well, it's weird, like, when people make these selections, like, there becomes like a theme. Like, mm-hmm. Yesterday was like therapy night. All these songs are fun. First two Monster Magnet songs are
fun. Nothing's heavy.
This song, he's saying like real shit here, but it's fun. Like, so in all the songs that she's been selecting, like, it's like really piqued my imagination. So like here, I'm like, I'm not part of that subculture, like the biker subculture. Like, mm-hmm. Shout out to the big homie Joe, is a villager. It was me, my little brother, shout out to Drew, and Joe. And we were all talking, and, you know, he had that bike. Mm-hmm. And my little baby brother had that bike. And so they're talking about, you know, having bikes and stuff, and, mm-hmm. like, the freedom. And Joe was like, yeah, man, blah, blah, blah. And my brother's like, yeah, bro, like, and then they were talking and all the stuff with the parts of the bike, and I don't know any of that shit, man. Because Joe has a Harley, and I think my brother was like, yeah, man, I'm trying to get a Harley, blah, 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 blah. Which you can buy as many Harleys as you want, bitch, if that thing we're planning on works out. So you have to send me that document. The one that we agreed on like 2 or 3 days ago. Send shit to me, you bitch. But anyway, shout out to my brother. But yeah, man, like, this shit was, it's a really, really good and just fun song, man. Like, but I felt like I was on the road with those boys. And the thing that I like about this vocalist, which I hate the fact that they updated Genius because now everything is so difficult to find. But I love that vocalist style because it is like perfect for that song. And for this band,
mm-hmm.
It came out in 2008. The name of the record is Booze, Broads, and Beelzebub. So it's like, it's really funny because, you know, in metal, there's that whole like satanic undertone or whatever. But this guy is he's a biker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're bikers.
Yeah.
Man, they're not interested in like sitting in some weird circle in the woods somewhere, bro. They're like, they're out there trying to, you know, do what everybody's trying to do. You're trying to hit the club. You're trying to get something to drink. You're trying to get some girl. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they named the record Booze, Broads, and then they hit Beelzebub because they got that metal in them. So, I don't know. I really, 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 really enjoyed these songs. Eddie Guz is the guy's name. I'm really feeling this dude, bro. He's like he's got some James Hetfield, and the dude from, I don't know, was it Lemmy is his name? The dude from Motorhead? He's got that kind of like grimy, like, you know what I'm saying? Grungy type voice. Like,
yeah, I love exactly.
That shit. Yep. I love that shit.
The next song on this album is called Hate This Town. I used to feel like that when I was a teenager. I was like, I hate this freaking town. It's so small. There's nothing happening here. So it seems like he's cheating? Is that what happened here?
Cheating? I can't even like imagine this dude in some sort of relationship. Like, yeah, he might have been.
Maybe it's not cheating.
Cheating? The name of the record is Boots, Broads, and Beelzebub.
Maybe it's just that he had like a girl that night and it wasn't. Everything felt so good last night. How could something so wrong feel so right? People usually say that about sex. Or that's what I thought. Am I wrong?
No, you think that because that's all you think about. But I
that's not all I think about. Please. Head hurts, stomach is turning, and I don't want to face the day. Why the hell won't I ever learn? I guess it's just the price to pay. So you think maybe he is hungover?
Well, that's a hangover, right?
No more easy money and talking ain't allowed. The devil walks beside me, he walks proud. Yeah, right here. I can't remember names, faces, or the places that I've been. The girl in my bed is far from the prettiest that I've ever seen. So,
yeah, but where
did you get that? I swear to myself this is the last time, but it doesn't seem quite to reach my mind.
Where did you get that he's cheating on somebody?
No, that's why I switched it, and I said, like, maybe, like, kind of a one. I was thinking it was cheating at first, but then, yeah, I don't see that he's with anybody.
Okay.
So I guess I would go with it's kind of like a one night stand. Maybe it's just a series of events.
Well,
what, like talking, what the name of the album is.
He's talking about the lifestyle.
Then he gets a girl and then he feels like shit after.
Well, yeah, he's, well, you're focusing on that because that's the most important thing in the world to you. But like there's alcohol.
I just said that.
There's.
I said he drinks, he gets easy, a girl, and then easy, he feels like shit tomorrow.
Easy money, right? Easy money, which is.
Yeah, what's the easy money?
Probably having to do with the drug game.
They call it
quick money or easy money. It's a drug game. Mm-hmm. Talking in aloud, that's no snitching. The devil walks beside me, that's probably a metaphor for whoever's running the gang. So, like, what I'm saying is he's talking about the lifestyle. Like, the commitment-less sex is just a
piece
of one aspect
of
an entire lifestyle of debauchery.
Right.
That, you know, many times feels like freedom, but eventually becomes its own prison. So then he says, get up, now it's time to face it all. Stop crying, no one hears your call. Look straight ahead, you fool. Get up, it's time to act real cool. Take a good look in the mirror now. What do you really see? Is that what you want to do? Is this who you want to be? So that right there is the cognitive dissonance that happens when you're living a certain kind of lifestyle. But then you have to face you have fun at night and then you have to face the consequences the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
those are very difficult realities to deal with. But it looks glamorous because he's, you know, they're doing drugs, they're committing crimes, they're doing all this gangster shit. You know, he's got girls, he's got booze and all that. But he's not enjoying the life. That shit rubs off. And it doesn't matter like who you are. Doesn't matter what people project to the outside world. Like, that kind of living has a corrosive effect on your mind and your body, your entire being as a person. It really, really does. You know, like,
yep, I could see that.
I remember one time, you know, and rest in peace to the homie, but there, I forgot the name of the band. It's the band that did Drowning Pool is the name of the band, and they had a song called Sinner. And the lines were, don't corner me to lecture me, raise your hand if you're a sinner. And it's like, yeah, man, I get it. You don't like anybody to corner you and lecture you. That's great. And then his bandmates found him dead in his tour bus because of a drug overdose.
Oh.
So, like, it's not that simple. Like, when you're caught up in a certain kind of lifestyle, it's not as simple as saying, don't judge me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, like, the don't judge me shit is like the silliest, stupidest phrase that just needs to be retired.
Yeah.
Like, why do you care if somebody's judging? If the person comes to me and says, hey man, you're an embezzler, you've embezzled $80 million from the government. Like, I'd laugh at them. Like, so, okay, that's mm-hmm. fine. Like, cause I know I haven't done that. But when you're living this kind of lifestyle, and you know, there's three questions at the end of the second to last verse. What do you really see? Is that what you want to do? Is this who you want to be? Those are three questions. Now, in a perfect world, when you're going down the wrong path, you have enough ingenuity and insight to ask yourself those questions, those three questions. And secondly, if you're really lucky and God has really graced you, then you'll answer those questions honestly. But the reason that we have friends and family members is because A, 80% of us will never ask ourselves those three questions. And B, 95% of us will never answer those questions honestly or in a way that leaves us looking bad according to our own standards mm-hmm. of morality.
Yeah.
So what happens is, by God's grace, you have friends who come around and ask you those questions in multiple different ways. And you, because you're so silly and immature, now I'm not talking to you, because so if what I'm about to say is offensive, if it describes you, then change, and if it doesn't, then just ignore your brother. But some of us are so silly that when our friends ask those questions to try to help us, we say dumb shit like, why are you always judging me? Mm-hmm. Or you can't judge me, or you're supposed to be my friend. So for example, I, like a year ago, I got into it with Zony. It was like 12 o'clock at night or some shit like that. And she said something to me about the channel, not this channel, another channel. And she said X, Y, and Z. And I was like, nah, blah, 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 blah. And now when I look back at it, you know, her and I had a conversation. I look back and I go, you know what? You were right about that particular thing that you were saying, and I'm going to I've been applying it, and it's been going really, really well, so thank you. So that was a time when I was just being an idiot, just being dumb.
We've all had those times, that's for sure.
But, you know, like, you have to the fact that this dude had the awareness to ask himself those three questions is unbelievable. Take a good look in the mirror now. What do you really see? Is the person that you're looking at in the mirror, is that the person you want to be? Is that your goal? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about, like, everybody knows, like, oh, I need to improve here, here, and here. Like, yeah, we all get that. But I'm talking about, like, major character flaws. Are you willing to face them and look at them and make the changes necessary so that everybody around you is not a miserable, miserable person?
Yep.
Like, that's a very, very important question. So it's that line, get up, time to face it all, stop crying, no one hears your call. Most of the time when you hear something like that, you know, nobody hears you, that's a negative thing, and something that I would always, you know, jump in the middle and say, no, God hears you. But I don't think that he's trying to leave the person hopeless here. I think what he's saying, this is kind of like the father he never had saying to him, you have to take responsibility for what you're doing. You got to face yourself and take responsibility. Stop crying. Nobody hears your call, in the sense that, you know, people that end up in those situations who face the consequences of their actions tend to, you know, go into this big giant self-pity thing, poor me, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, there comes a time when you're going to do that for the last time. And the last person that you're able to manipulate is going to figure you out. So when he says, stop crying, nobody hears your call, like, that's like, you know, there's a whole Victoria's Secret Karen situation that happened, you know, that everybody's talking about. And, you know, we're laughing at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, ha ha. But
what happened?
Yeah, this girl in Victoria is a typical thing. The white girl goes and does some crazy shit. And of course, the black people, we got to have cameras for everything. So this girl is like camming her, and this girl starts yelling and getting all extra, doing all types of crazy shit. She eventually, like, I'm not going to give it away because we're going to shoot a middle America on it, like, right after. But,
okay.
But, like, everybody's laughing, and I get it, but, like, people have died over that shit. Like, that whole motif of, like, the self-pitying woman who's, like, people have died over that shit. So when he says, stop crying, no one hears your call, like, there is a kind of crying that God ignores. That's biblical. Was it in Malachi? It says, you flood the Lord's altar with tears, and your hands are up because you don't know why God is no longer listening to your prayer. And then it says, it's because the Lord is standing against you as a judge on behalf of the wife of your youth, because you've been faithless to her. So there it's saying, God is saying, I don't care how much you cry, I don't care how much you sacrifice, I'm not going to listen to your religious bullshit when you're being a shit person to a person you're supposed to be completely loyal to. So no, I'm not going to listen to you until you fix that problem. Like, that's life. There are times, man, and you know, look, if you're one of these people, you manipulate people and you don't think anybody can figure it out, trust me. Somebody, Boozy, I was listening to Boozy on Vlad TV, and he said, he's talking to this cop who was a dirty cop, and he said, you know, you can't really fool anybody, and most of the time people can see that you're full of shit, but most people are too polite to tell you. So you're walking around thinking, oh, yeah. You know, I, yeah.
You've got everybody fooled.
But in reality, everybody's like, holy shit, this person is a fucking... So, like, that line right there is pretty crazy. It's an important line. And,
well, you know, but who's talking? I thought he was talking to himself.
I agree.
I thought he was saying it was...
I agree.
You said it's the last. You said that's the last time that somebody is going to like basically be manipulated by you and take your bullshit. But I took it as there's also a last time where you are gonna do whatever thing it was that you did, and now you're saying to yourself, okay, you know what? Now it's time to face it all. Stop crying. No one hears your call. Look straight ahead, you fool. Like. Because the fool is someone who doesn't walk in wisdom, someone who doesn't follow instruction and all that. So he probably knew the warning signs. He just carried on. And so now it's time for him to get up. I think act real cool is kind of weird, but take a look, a good look in the mirror now. What do you see? What is it you want to, is that what you want to do? Is this who you want to be? And I think that all of us have to do that periodically in our lives because I think it's easy to kind of get off the path of where, you know, unless you're proactively, you know, watching yourself daily to see like, okay, am I headed in the right direction? Because there's that thing where they say like, if you're not going forward, then you're actually going backwards. There's no neutral position. But I think that you can delude yourself to think that you're kind of in a neutral position, not realizing that the whole time you're in neutral, you're actually in reverse. So at some point you have to face it and you have to, you know, no more easy money to me. Like, I understand what he's saying in the song, but it's also like no more like giving yourself excuses, no more easy way out. Because I think there's a lot of times there is an easy way out where you don't really have to face yourself and you don't really have to make the changes necessary. He had to make the changes. I mean, but he didn't. He died, you said?
He died.
Is that what you said at the beginning of this? This guy died?
No. No, he didn't die.
Oh. No. I thought somebody said somebody. Who were you? You were talking
Bismarck,
about somebody else.
Bismarck, he died.
Someone died like in their choking and stuff.
I don't know anybody in this band.
Okay.
But I don't really see.
So did he face it? What?
I don't really see a difference in what you're saying and what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's talking to himself. He's asking himself those three questions. But when he says stop crying and things of that nature, it's, I'm just taking that as a principle of there's a lot of times when, because he's saying, look, I'm the perpetrator. I committed this crime, so I'm gonna take responsibility for it, and I'm not going to cry about it. Nobody's going to hear you crying. And what I was just bringing up that point of there's a lot of times, and, you know, a lot of times it's with women. If you cry, you can overcome a consequence. And all I'm saying is there's going to come a time when that's not the case. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I mean, I went after Zoe early with that, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not something to cry about, honey. Because she was trying to, you know, this is going to get a little hectic, but she was trying to manipulate me with it, which, of course, at the beginning with children, it's their only methodology of communication. And so, of course, but she began to realize, oh, when I do this, Dad drops everything and then he goes to help me. And so she began to rely on that. So after a while, I said, that's not something to cry about. And I'm not coming to you if you do that. You can solve your own problem. You're a very strong young lady. And she eventually, you know, she did. And so, like, I was really focused on that, like, making sure that she didn't create, like, patterns where she could use her charms to manipulate people. Because I don't care what anybody says. It happens a lot. I mean, we just ran into a political situation with a very prominent person who tried to do the victim thing when she was the actual perpetrator.
Right.
So it's something to be called out. Obviously, in this current situation, this is a man taking, you know, doing real man shit and taking responsibility for his actions. And I love that. Like, he's at a moment where he's ready to turn a corner and be something different in his life.
Yep.
And what that is going to mean for him in the real world, I don't know, but it definitely bodes well for him. So shout out to the homie for trying to change.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
What do you give I was talking about the original singer of Drowning Pool because that guy was on the Don't Judge Me kick. And, you know, don't corner me to lecture me. Raise your hands if you're a sinner.
Thank you, Michelle.
And then he, you know, rest in peace to the homie, Michelle.
So I think that when he says, take a look, a good look in the mirror now, what do you really see? I think that that's actually an important thing to do. And I think if you haven't looked at your face in the mirror and kind of looked past your actual like face and to who you are, look at that and say, you know, kind of take stock of who you are. I think a lot of times people avoid doing it because they don't want to see what they don't like to see. But I think it's an important practice that we have to get into. We have to face ourselves and we have to see who we are, what we've done, what we haven't done, our shortcomings and all that, and face it. And then, like you said, make necessary changes, because you know what? This one life is this the only one life that you're going to have. So,
you believe that?
Beyond, well, I believe that there is life after this. But this one life that we're in here is the only one that we have. I don't think we get a rerun. I don't believe in reincarnation. I wish I believed in reincarnation. I do like the concept. That would just give me a lot of, well, it would give me peace, and at the same time it would trouble me, because there's some people that I'm like, yes, that guy is coming back as a fly for sure. He's landing on shit. You know what I mean? But then, you know, then I might look at myself and be like, oh no, I too may come back as a fly. So anyway, I didn't really like the song. I liked the discussion after. For me, like the sound of it and stuff, it just wasn't, you know, it kind of felt kind of repetitive. And so it was a 6.7. I'm sorry.
6.7?
I'm so sorry.
Lexi. This is a 9.8 for me. I really, 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 really loved this song. Really, really did. And I loved the themes, and it was pretty straightforward. And I was not expecting this deep of a theme from, you know, booze, broads, and Beelzebub. So shout out to the homie. There you are, dear listener. The moral of the story is
face yourself. Look in the mirror, face yourself, and start moving forward, you fool.
Ask the three questions. Vin out.
Sorry out.
Gone.